Okay, let's think on this. We've been talking a little bit already today about belief and faith and miracles. You know, I've attended all sorts of conferences, seminars, and I've read books and listened to sermons relating to how we might work the works of God. It's a phrase that's taken from the Bible. It's a question from John in the 6th chapter. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Now, I was often told that the price was very expensive. So to work the works of God, the price is very expensive. It would cost me to get close to God. There was a big price for me to pay. And we've been told that we had to pray more, to fast more, to know our enemy, and so on. Now, whilst all those things are true in our growth as Christians, if that's what we needed to do to work the works of God, then I ended up very frustrated at my failure. I was confused at my lack of success. And the truth is, I just grew more and more concerned for the hundreds of other people that I would see grappling to know God better and work the works of God. Then, one beautiful day, I found the truth to the question, what must I do to work the works of God? And I found the truth in the Bible. And the answer is very different to what we've been told. Who this morning wants to know what we need to do to work the works of God? What you need to do in your life to work the works of God? If you're interested, please show me by putting your hands up. We're all interested, it looks to me, in knowing. Now, if I could show it to you, point blank, would you believe it? You would believe it? Would you accept it and walk with it? Amen? You would? I'm sure, I'm convinced that you would. And so we turn then to John 6, and let's read from verse 28. Where it says, first of all, the question, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Here comes the answer, and it's from our Lord and Savior, and he says this. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in whom he sent. Brothers and sisters, it's very easy for us to work the works of God. It's belief. It's obedience. What is belief? It's the manifestation of obedience. When the little girl in Africa was sick and she couldn't go out to play with the other children, in the testimony that we've heard, the people in the group didn't necessarily, not that I heard in the testimony, have some, you know, goosebumpy type feelings. There was no sort of light that broke through the clouds and shone on the ground where one of them was standing, and suddenly they felt as if they had some divine opportunity. No. There was nothing like that. It's not feelings-based. It was faith-based. And that was the, and that, what is that? That's belief in action. Not based on feelings. I don't need my feelings to do the works of God. It's not feelings orientated. Now, I like the nice sound of music playing. And there's nothing wrong with feelings necessarily. But so many people want to base faith on feelings, and the problem is this. Feelings will go up and down, up and down. It's nice to enjoy the beautiful music being played and being in those feelings. But what happens when we walk out of here? The band can't follow us around in the car, towing them in a little vehicle or something. We can't live like that. We have to live in a different realm, and it's the faith realm, not feelings realm. And too many people associate feelings with some spiritual activity. It's not necessarily the case. Feelings are the lesser thing. Faith is the higher thing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is the thing that moves mountains. Feelings won't do it, folks. In fact, very often, feelings will go against where faith is taking us. Feelings will get us into sympathy for people. Dangerous territory there. Compassion, yes. Sympathy, no. Because if we're feelings led, we're doing what the New Testament warns us not to do, to be led by the flesh. No, we're to be led by the Spirit. And what is the Spirit? The Spirit is the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, dividing. You see? So that's why it's important to listen to what Jesus says. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. In the Gospel of John, Jesus gives us the answer. The people had seen Him, and they were in awe at Jesus because of the miracles. They saw the miracles. They saw the healing of the sick. They saw the feeding of 5,000 men with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And they said, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He sent. The greatest doing is believing. Believing in Jesus, the sent one, who has done it all for us at the cross. And if you're asking this morning, what must I do to receive my healing? The answer is, believe in Jesus. Amen. Who Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses, as Matthew 8:17 says. We've seen members of our church delivered from life-threatening conditions, such as cancer and crippling disease. How? Someone, the minister, the person themselves, or a friend had believed and received. For Christians, God wants us to believe that Jesus bore our diseases in His own body. There's nothing for us to do but believe, and that belief will birth the blessing. Matthew 21:22. And all things whatsoever he shall ask in prayer, believing, he shall receive. Believing. When the jailer asked Paul and Silas in Acts 16, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And salvation happens not by working or trying to save ourselves, not by being faithful about the rituals of a religion. Salvation happens how? By belief. That's it. It's so simple. What's the miracle that you need today? Let me say this. God has put something in us. When they came from America, they were amazed at how many leaders we have in the church. In the meetings and when we went around, they saw leaders connected to Living Faith Church. And the network, the Tikkin network, the International Charismatic Church Network, they said, there's leaders. Yes, there's leaders. And let me say this. Leaders have God's will in them, and they have yielded to that will, and now that will is manifesting in their lives. What has God been birthing in you? What's he been birthing? He spoke to you, didn't he? He spoke to you. He said, I want you to... You fill in the rest of the sentence. I want you to... And he spoke it again and again. Didn't he speak it? He spoke it again and again. I want you to. I want you to. Now watch what happens. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. If we ignore him and we just ignore and we resist and we say, well, you know, I'm not sure, I'm not going to. Or if we just wait and we don't move forward, what happens? The voice, not through his choice, but through our choice of lack of yielding, what happens is the voice gets fainter and fainter. And that voice becomes a quiet hush. But in a moment like this, in a service like this, God reminds people, remember years ago when I whispered to you, deep inside you, I whispered something that I had for you to do. I whispered it, and it created a godly excitement on the inner parts of you. You've forgotten it. Now come forth. Come alive. Come alive today. Let it come alive today. And this morning, I believe, is an opportunity for that to happen. We're the people of God. If we don't, who will? He uses us. We're the body of Jesus on planet Earth. People can look into religion. They don't find Jesus in religion. They find Jesus where? In his body. Those who really believe. Those who have yielded their lives and are doing the works of God. You know, Galatians 3:13, it says this, as we come to a close, and I want us to think on these things and take these things on board. But Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Watch this. Many believers probably know that when Jesus died, our sins were forgiven because he shed his blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1:7, Hebrews 9:22. But why did Jesus have to die on the cross? Since the capital punishment in Israel at that time was by stoning. If someone was found guilty in the days of Jesus, they wouldn't be crucified, they'd be stoned to death. That was the capital punishment of Jesus' day. So why did they crucify him? Come with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 21:23 tells us why. And it says, and Jesus You see, he hung and he died on the cross because he knew the law, thoroughly schooled in the Old Testament, and he understood the law which says that in Deuteronomy 21:23, he who is hanged is accursed of God. He wanted to redeem us from every curse of the law. So he went to the cross, having become a curse for us. That's why he wasn't stoned. Isn't that remarkable? Jesus took all our curses at the cross so that we can take all his blessings and live our lives in faith and victory. Hallelujah. I like a life that says every morning, I believe in miracles. What miracle has God got for you today? Hallelujah. Financial, health, the vehicle for God's will and doing God's work is belief. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Everything has been paid for. Everything has been done by our Lord Jesus. And so we venerate him. We yield ourselves to him. And watch this. We live in days when even in the church you may hear sometimes people try and rob from the words of Jesus. Frankly, if it's before the cross or after the cross, it's the word of Jesus. If it's the word of Jesus, it doesn't matter if he said it before or after. The application to ourselves is done through faith. And he's called us to believe. There's a teaching that's put too much emphasis, I believe, in contextualization, for example. There's a theological word. I believe in understanding the scriptures in context. Don't think I don't. I really do. I've gone down the paths of higher criticism. I understand those things. And I've chosen to dismiss those things. So I understand why some people say, well, this was before the cross event, and this was after the cross event. And what's happened is in the church and on the teachings that you will hear, sometimes on the networks, the television networks, you hear people going into depth in that emphasis. Ah, he said that before the cross. That was Old Testament because he said it before the cross. And you think, oh, he did say it before. Oh, yeah, that sort of is, yeah. It's the enemy. Most of the time, that's the enemy. It's not right contextualization. It's the enemy trying to rob from the words of Jesus. It does make a difference, understanding context at times, yes. But watch. The words and the fullness of Jesus and belief in Jesus means that we take on his words and his teaching. You see, to believe in Jesus and to receive from Jesus means that we take on Jesus' teaching, all of his teaching. I haven't found anywhere in the New Testament where it says this, if it's before the crucifixion, it's less important than after. I don't find that in the Bible. What I find in the Bible is that all of his counsel is important for correction, exhortation. And what I find is that the words of Jesus are life themselves. And what I find is that it makes no difference if it's before the cross or after the cross. It's Jesus' truth. And we must know that truth to be set free. And if we were to eliminate the words of Jesus because they were before the cross, we'd have a huge gap in our theology, folks. Don't do it, and don't allow the devil. What is the devil's charge? To come and steal the word of God. And if you look in Mark 4, you'll see he's under a charge. Once the word of God is sown in the heart, he tries to come along to steal it. I would say this. Watch what's been said in the coffee after the service. Resist going out there and having a sloppy conversation with someone. Don't do it. I know your flesh would like to. Don't do it. Take the word of God seriously. The Holy Spirit is ministering to you. Deep truths, calling forth those things that are inside. Don't go to the coffee and have a cheap joke with someone. I'll tell you the truth. My mind thinks quick. Throughout the course of a day, I have about 30 really funny sentences that come into my mind. We were sitting down having tea the other day with the visitors from America. I had a few cracking one-liner sentences that came into my head. Oh, they were funny. And I had to really be disciplined not to speak them out. It's hard for me because I enjoy it. But I've learned that if I speak those things out, what I've done then, because say 2 hours before the Lord was using my mouth to speak his truths, if I now cheapen it with a silly sentence, what I've done is I'll rob from that person what God really planted 2 hours before. Do you see? I don't want to do that. Better I don't have a laugh, and better I restrict myself and give more weight and credit to God for those words 2 hours before, and those words will really have an impact into their lives. Oh, but we would have laughed. But you know, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. You see, the enemy, when the word of God is being sown, he'll try his best to come and steal it. So we need to be wise. Listen, I want to tell you this. You are, and you are a real part of the body of Christ. You are not insignificant. There's nothing insignificant in the body of Christ. Nothing insignificant in the body of Christ. You're a real part of the body of Christ. Very important in the body. Very important. Each one of us, very important to the body. And so what God has placed in you that he wants to call forth is significant and important. So value what God has done and value what he started. And know that we will manifest it through belief. Let's stand, shall we? I wonder, Stuart, will you come and play this? What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, this morning, we believe in him whom he sent. And our belief in you, Lord Jesus, tells us that there have been times in our life when you've spoken to us and you've called us to do things and you've given us your will, and maybe we've grown hard in our hearts and we've shut it out. Maybe it was too difficult for us to take on board. We didn't want to acknowledge it. We said, I'll do it in next month. I'll do it at a time in the future. We try to put off the will of God for our lives. But let me say, no, don't put it off. Now is the day for you to take up the mantle that God has given you. Take it up and run with it. Now is the day for you to be all that God called you to be. God put greatness in you. God put his truth in you. God put his life in you. Now is the day for you to take it up and be all that God called you to be. Oh, you're so special. People haven't understood you. People haven't understood how wonderfully and fearfully you're made and how he's shaped you even from a young child. There were times when you've been hurt. There were times when there were tears. There were times when people just didn't understand. And you cried and you shut off God's plan. But now in a sentence, I want to call it forth in faith. Heavenly Father, this morning service, Father, as we call out now, we want to call forth those gifts of God. The dreams of God that you placed into people within this congregation. Father, whatever those gifts and calls and dreams were, we call them forth now in Jesus' name. I speak now to them and I say, come alive. Come alive in the sons and daughters of Abraham. Come alive. Come alive. Come alive. And Father God, that those would manifest now. They would start today as a seed, perhaps some. They would start and they would grow. And they would grow and they would flourish. And they would grow and flourish into a harvest of a life of faith. A life of fruit. And a life that is dedicated to you. Father God, have your way. Have your way, Lord. And in Jesus' wonderful name, listen, if you want to respond to him now, I'm thinking of the sentence that I half finished earlier. If you could finish the sentence and you knew what God had birthed and God had spoken to you, he spoke to you about writing a book. He spoke to you about writing your testimony down. He spoke to you about getting together with some people to pray. He spoke to you about praying for people to be healed. And you kept putting it off and putting it off and putting it off. And God said, I'm going to use you in healing. I'm going to use you to heal the sick. I'm going to use you to heal the sick and to minister my gospel. And you kept putting it off and putting it off. Whatever it is this morning, listen, respond to him. You respond to him right now. And I'm asking that every eye be closed. Every eye be closed now. No one looking around, because I want people to be free to respond before God on their own. And I want you to lift up your hand. If there's something specific that God is bringing to your mind this morning, you lift up your hand now and you respond to him and say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I recognize that you called me and that you spoke things into my life. And I yield to those things today in Jesus' wonderful name. I will yield to your will, Lord. Have your way in and through me in Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. If there's anyone who wants prayer for anything in specific, come forward now. We'll pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah.